Liddell.
And I'm Kyle Cacciadorian.
And you're listening. You sound so unenthusiastic.
I'm tired. Aren't you tired? We've both had a very long day.
Of course I'm tired.
What are we going to talk about today, Emily?
We're going to talk about disability pride. But first, we have something important that we got to do.
Yeah. I have to apologize. I told a story on the last episode that was about a friend, and it was just the wrong thing to do. I tried to make it anonymous. That doesn't make it right. It won't happen again. And honestly, if it happened to me, I wouldn't really like it. So just clearing the air.
Yeah, we have to be careful. We talk about a lot of things that happen in real life, but sometimes things are not ours to tell or pass judgment on. And so
absolutely,
we just wanted to put that out there. We're human, and it's a learning experience.
And we will do better in the future.
Yes, absolutely.
And on that note, let's talk about how we did better in the future today.
So today, Kyle and I went to the New York City Disability Pride Parade, and we have mixed feelings on the concept of pride. I wouldn't say anything negative, but there's a lot to unpack here.
Yeah, there's certainly nothing negative. I was telling Emily before we recorded the show, you know, I have nothing at all against the concept of pride, especially how it's used in the LGBT community and how we used it today in parades like this. Nothing against it. You just wonder, or at least I've wondered, how much does that actually accomplish? And I also noted to Emily, just a little inside baseball for you guys, that I don't feel that way when it comes to LGBT pride. And yet somehow I wonder if it's accomplishing anything when it comes to disability. And so there is a lot to unpack. Like, is that my unconscious biases? Is it just because, you know, society doesn't take us seriously to begin with? Is it, I don't know. I mean, what do you think, Emily?
I feel about pride celebrations in general that they're very much for the community, which is so important. But I don't know that they're really furthering any sort of acceptance or civil rights. And as a matter of fact, I sometimes wonder if the spectacle makes us just that, something to be gawked at and not something, or not a group of people whose identity we're trying to celebrate. It's an interesting conundrum in my head because I'm all about disability pride. I'm all about pride in who you are. I'm all about taking the time to celebrate who you are and representing yourself and letting the world know that you're loud and proud about it. I also wonder if it's supposed to be for anything more than just the communities who are involved. Are we achieving something?
Do we have to be?
That's a good question.
I mean, I don't know. That wasn't like to point you into a corner. It was I genuinely don't know. But I think that your point earlier about, you know, I don't know if we're being gawked at. Like, it's really hard to tell when you're in it. You know what I mean? Like, you really want to look around and you want to see people like, oh, look, you know, I don't know what they're doing, but it's clear that they're doing something and they're doing it proudly. Like, I want to believe that people believe that. But like, what are the odds that everybody believes that, you know? I mean, that doesn't and shouldn't stop you from doing it. It didn't stop us. But like, you can't help but wonder.
No, it's really, really fun and empowering to see giant groups of people who are out there for the Disability Pride event. This is what, the third one that they've done in New York City?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think, at least organizationally, we were saying earlier, it gets better each year.
Oh, yeah. This year was, I mean, we've been to all three of them. And this year was by far the best. And by the way, hello, if you were here today.
Oh,
I know
yeah.
We got some new listeners.
Yeah, and we would love to know your thoughts on it, too. Because one thing that I noticed this year, it felt a little lackluster in the actual Pride. And I don't know if that was just because of where we were in the lineup, but I was waiting for this feeling of utter excitement and festivity. But instead, it sort of felt like, okay, we're marching now. We're proud to be here. Yay!
I mean, it's a little unfair for me to speak on that point because I don't particularly have much disability pride in that sense. But I mean, I was there, so I can't say that I have none, because if I didn't have any, I wouldn't have been there. But I understand what you mean. You know, it's just like, yeah, you know, it was sort of like it was like a hollow victory. It was like biting into a biscuit that was nothing but air. It was like, it was nice. It was great. It was wonderful. I had fun. But it was like missing the oomph that the last two had.
Yeah, and it was definitely a who's who of the disability community and disability organizations. And I know that Pride events are intended to be symbolic anyway, but that was what it felt like. It felt symbolic to me, and I was looking to see people who were just feeling real proud of who they were. And maybe I should have had a party horn, and you should really insert that noise here.
Of course.
And, you know, pom-poms and a sign, and I should have decked myself out in accessibility symbols.
But to your point, though, aside from the party horn, which she only brings out on the weekends, you already do that. I mean, you've sticker bombed your wheelchair.
That's true. I do have the stickers on my chair.
And like, and in addition to the physical stuff, I mean, your entire aura, your entire being is, you know, waking up and being the best disabled person you can. We've talked about pressure that being the ideal disabled person. I don't think we've done a dedicated episode on it, but we've definitely talked about it on the show. And that's what you do every day. So like, maybe it's because that's what you do every day, and today was just the day that everyone got in a line and did it.
I wonder if I'm feeling some kind of burnout, and I don't want anyone to think that I mean for this episode to be a downer. This is more just an exploration of self at the moment that you're all coming on with me, because I'm obviously super proud of who I am. But I think as of late, I've just had a couple of particularly exasperating experiences. Like last night, I was trying to get on the elevator so that I could get myself from the subway platform to Penn Station in New York City, and the elevator wasn't coming, and I had a heart attack because it was like 10-15 minutes, it wasn't coming, no joke. And I already sensed that I was about to have a repeat of a time where I had a bunch of firefighters from the New York Fire Department carry me up the stairs of the
subway.
Such
is life.
And I was thinking to myself, I literally started typing the tweet, because it had been about 15 minutes. Nobody was answering the help button when I pushed to call for help. And I was about to tweet at the New York City subway, which was my last resort. I didn't know what else to do. And say, hey, I'd really like to go home and get some sleep before I wake up and come to the Disability Pride Parade tomorrow. But, you know, I'm stuck on your subway platforms. Somehow, miraculously, it came down. I have no idea how.
Truly. It was a gift from God.
But it's just one of those things where I think that I'm starting to hit a point of like, yeah, I celebrate myself, but I also need you to respect me. And that's what I'm not feel. There's a disconnect for me right now with the sense of disability pride. Like, I'm perfectly fine with who I am.
Well, elaborate on that, because I think I agree with you, and I think that's what the disconnect is.
I like myself. I don't like being a person in the world who have a disability. I find it very tiresome, and I feel like a day's worth of pride isn't even good for my own self-esteem or self-image anymore, because pride in myself is not going to get me up a flight of stairs. And this must sound like I am buying so far into the bitter cripple stereotype right now.
No, I think that's it. And that's also, I think, why it's different than LGBT pride, too. It's like, you know, because, I mean, I'm not a member of the LGBT community, but I know enough people who are. And like, their goal is acceptance and like, hey, we're here. But we need a lot more than that. I mean, yes, the parade is, hey, we're here. But that's only like 1/8 of the battle. That's like,
I mean, I think that's oversimplifying in terms of like LGBTQ plus pride, but I get what you're saying. You know, it's not unless you're queer and disabled.
Oh, then it just piles on, of course. Yeah.
But I get for the sake of what you're saying, I completely follow in the terms.
Yeah,
of,
I'm not trying to like minimize the struggles of the LGBT plus community at all.
Yeah, I just mean that it's
not the same
Olympics either.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. But no, I hear what you're saying, because I think that's it. Theirs is a festivity because they want people to know that they're out and proud. For me, I'm out as a disabled person in my particular case. There is no mistaking that I have a disability, and I'm really glad if you want to clap and cheer at me on the streets, but that's not going to make the elevator work.
Yeah.
Oh, and man, that's a bare minimum, you know, because then if you start to talk about stigmatizing attitudes, well, of course, the same thing goes for all communities that have various pride parades.
Oh, of course.
You know, they're trying to combat those stigmatizing attitudes. And in that case, I'm all about it.
In that case, I think that in that instance, that's where parades like this shine. I think that that's the goal that these things tend to hit really well. It's just that with us and other communities too, but I just know it because I am part of this, that that's really only like scratching the surface and learning about the physicality of our struggles. Like you said, like no amount of pride is going to turn stairs into a ramp. It's just not going to happen. That's not how life works.
I think that's what's been getting to me about disability issues in general lately, is that it's like Sisyphus, you know.
Yeah.
To clarify the reference, it's the Greek mythology of the guy who keeps pushing a rock up a hill and just continues to push the rock around, and it
never gets to the top because there is no top. Yeah.
Yeah, it never stops.
But I think, I mean, I don't know about you, because I'm really not in the community as much as you are. So please tell me if I'm wrong, but I from what I see and from what I know from you and various other activists I know, right, it seems that the majority of people tend to focus on social issues more than, say, policy, only because it's a lot easier for an everyday person to do that. And that's not delegitimizing it. I'm just saying that, you know, talking about social issues and pointing them out and stating ways to correct them only go so far. And then when it comes time to actually make the change, I don't know. I'm not going to say we fall short, but I am going to say I don't think we're nearly as strong in that area as a group.
Can I clarify?
Can you clarify?
Yeah, I want to. Oh, absolutely. I want to make sure I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah,
so basically, are you saying that we can push for changes in attitudes and changes in actions, but when it comes to actually having something in writing, an actual policy change, that's where it becomes more of a challenge?
Yeah, and if I don't know if that's true, but it just seems true. Because, I mean, just personally, I know a lot more people that talk about these issues, and they should, more than... It's almost like it's all the lead up and none of the follow through. And I'm not saying that's the fault of anybody. It's just like, it's hard to change policy. It's very hard.
Like,
well, there's a group called the Rise and Resist Elevator Action Group. They were pretty well represented at the parade today, and they're taking substantial steps to bring about change to the accessibility of the New York City subway system and transportation. And I think that the problem is, in a lot of ways, the activism where you're actively changing policy can sometimes be more of an exclusive club. And I'm not calling out Rise and Resist. I just think that what ends up happening is the ability to take on the tasks of doing the heavy lifting and actually changing policy and not just saying we're here and we're proud to be here. It requires means that I don't think everybody has. Time, sure. Money, energy, ability to get to and from, know-how, etc. So, yeah, I mean, here I am
again. But does again, that make it using- less true, though? I mean, just because it's inaccessible, no pun intended, doesn't mean that that doesn't happen. And I'm very, very proud of all the groups that do change policy. I'm just saying, I think it just seems a little imbalanced, and maybe it is because it's so hard to break into. But I don't know. I shouldn't.
We're also not super in that world. We do more of the advocating and the activism and less of the here's a law, let's change it.
You mean us, like us, or us as a people?
The two of us.
Oh. Yeah, but I mean, but there you go. I would say that we are part of, like, tilting that scale a little bit. I don't think that's a bad thing. I just think that, like, I think the reason that there's a disconnect is because there's not that many people or groups going through the next steps. And the ones that are really doing great work. And I'm not saying that, like, everyone should. I'm just saying, like, I don't know, man. We got to do better. We got to do more.
Yeah. I also don't think that either of us are all talk, no action, though.
I wouldn't say that. Certainly not you. I don't think I am either, but certainly not you.
But sometimes pride parades feel like all talk and no action it comes down to.
But maybe that's what they're for. Maybe that's the action that pride parades are for. Maybe that's their bit of action. That's what the parade's for. It's to shout into a big megaphone that we're here. And maybe you need that.
The other thing, too, I think everyone is exasperated right now.
Oh, yeah.
Considering the particular administration that we live under. I find myself wondering if that has any sort of impact on not feeling quite so festive.
I mean, I don't know about you, but I mean, how many times did we bring him up today? Like, not even on purpose. Like, during the parade. Like, I think you're right. I think that has not an insignificant part to do with it.
But I also think that then is a pride parade a form of protest if you look at it that way, because you're sort of protesting the people who are trying to keep you down? Or can it just be enjoyed for the sake of having fun, being proud of who you are, and sharing that with the crowd around you? It has such a political feel.
That is the reason I tend not to like these things. I have no problem with it, but I think that, I don't know, I really do think that this, I don't know, like, I want to say it should remain neutral. I really do want to say that. But I can tell you right now, like, if there was a disabled Trump supporter in the crowd, they were keeping their mouth shut. Because if they...
I didn't see one.
No, I didn't see one either, but you can't...
Not one who...
You can't look at someone and know, but my point is, like, I don't think that they would have felt welcome there at all, even though they're just as disabled as we all were, is my point. And should that be the case? I don't know, because if I say no, then I'm admitting to this particular parade being all about just being disabled and being here. But if I say yes, then I am admitting that it is a form of protest, and I don't really know what the answer is. I think that that's extremely gray. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think also, and this is Harry in and of itself, but I think I was more conscious of things like security in the area and policing and just generally not feeling as like, woohoo, you know, because I almost wonder if everyone was being a little too careful.
I don't know. Maybe.
Am I reading too much into that? Maybe.
I don't want to say too much. I don't want to say too much. But like, I don't know if it was any more or less than any other parade in New York City. They all have those cops with the M4s and M16s hanging out. They do. Now, is that overkill? Probably. But it's probably best to be overkill than underkill if something did happen. And I don't know. Like, you probably noticed it in this case because it was probably smaller than your average, like, LGBT plus parade. You know what I mean? I'm guessing. I don't know how that works, truly.
I'm also thinking, so last month, I was going through the city, and I ran into the Israeli Heritage Pride Parade, and hell if they were not the most festive people I have ever seen, aside from
the who? Sorry, a gay I didn't catch you.
What?
I didn't, who? Who'd you run into?
Israeli.
Oh.
Israeli Pride. Yeah. And the sheer level of festivity there, I wanted to get swept up into it. And I'm not about to get into a discussion of Zionism here, or anything like that.
Never. I recognize not on this show.
That's a whole other conversation. Politics notwithstanding, I was like, yeah, these are my people. And I was just like, and I wasn't even in the parade, but I was like, you just seem real happy to be here.
But I think, no, but I mean, have you ever been to Pride, like LGBT Pride? I have. Like, I'm not LGB or T or plus, and yet, you know, when you go there, it's like, hell yeah, I'm here and I'm queer, even though I'm not at all. But you really do get swept up in the festivities. And I really just... like, it was the first thing you said. I just wasn't feeling that. And I don't think I'm way more disabled than LGBT. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it's like, just like you said with the Israeli parade. It's like, I'm not a part of this, and I love it. So there's something missing. Yeah. There's something missing.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it was just that everybody was able to do the same color scheme for the Israeli pride parade. You know, when you have that blue and white situation going and everyone's like all matched up.
You got the one, maybe that's the one Crip who's like, I don't know how I got here, but they don't know I'm not one of them yet.
Well, no, I think they clearly knew because I was trying to go in the opposite direction. No, I was trying to get to a play.
I meant the gang that wears blue and white.
Oh.
Not. Oh, I get what you heard.
Crip has an entirely different meaning here, funny. Darling.
Yeah, no, I know. I should know better. This is a disability show.
Yeah, yeah. That was funny, though. Yeah. And I want to make it clear, none of this is a knock on the parade, because, I mean, it's amazing that the mayor's office for people with disabilities and all of the planners who work on this pull something like this off.
And
amazing.
It's a new parade.
Yeah, it's a baby parade compared to other things.
The third year ever, at least in New York.
And you know what the other thing was? I feel like for the first year, it was such a huge step in the right direction. We weren't yet exhausted by Donald Trump being president. It was 2016. Everyone was like, this is great. And
wasn't it ADA 25 too? Like, wasn't that also?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait. Was it 2016 or was it 2015? That was the first year.
It was 2015.
Because then it would be 4 years.
No, this was the third year. I remember because I was still working for CPF. Yeah, no, 2015 was the first.
I don't know if we have our facts right on that, but we'll double check.
I'm pretty sure. We'll check.
Yeah. Either way, the first year, I think it was an immense novelty to everybody. And it was a sign of progress because we hadn't had anything like that in New York City since, I believe, 1993.
I didn't even think we had it at all. I didn't.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
No, this.
Okay.
Yeah. So the novelty and the excitement and the sheer joy was completely palpable that first year. This year, it felt like everyone showed up and wore their t-shirts because if your organization is not represented and you work on disability in the New York metro area and you're not there, then what are you even doing?
Yeah. That, you know what? I think you hit it. And as inaccessible soul fashion, it's way too late. It's 26 minutes in, but I think
I have to hope that the troopers who sit all the way through these episodes will follow us and as we evolve in our thinking each episode.
No, but I think that's really on the nose. You know what I mean? It just felt like a bunch of organizations got together because they wanted to, but also for a weird sense of obligation because that's the area in which they work. And it's like,
yeah, like it's a formality, maybe.
Yeah, exactly.
But at the same time, I was still happy to be there. Like,
I had fun. It was good.
So amped to see people. I loved looking at everyone's shirts and the clever signs and hearing the festivities going on. Whatever we did hear, the chanting, seeing people in the park at the end. And
that was fun. Although it's funny, I only heard one chant. It was the Black Lives Matter chant. And like, fine, Black Lives Matter. Yes, they do. But it was just like, I didn't hear any disability chants. It was just strange. It was like, huh. You know what I mean?
Well, but I think I don't know because we were so far away. I heard that in the vague distance. My guess is just going to be that they were trying to point out that Black disabled lives matter.
And oh, of course. I'm not knocking that.
Ignore that too often. I know you're not knocking it.
But it's just
it,
like, yeah.
It was a point that needed to be proven right now.
Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I mean, like you said, it was cool. And like, but to be fair, also to your point, like my favorite part was when it was over and like the marching stopped and we got to like mingle with everybody afterwards. That was so much more fun.
You know
fun.
What I think? I wonder if it should be more of a festival to begin with, because I could be making this up, but I think that other places do it as a pride festival rather than a pride parade. But a parade is such a quintessentially New York thing. But the last time I marched in anything in New York City was the Women's March. And at that point, I was just like so mad that I almost forgot I was allowed to have fun marching today.
Yeah, but I mean, that's not a parade. You're not supposed to be happy during that. But that's the thing, right? So the difference between a disability pride parade and a women's march is that like, there was like hardly any floats and like, you know what I mean? It was just,
oh yeah, no, it was a very, the women's march was not for floats.
No, I don't mean, I'm saying the disability pride parade. I'm just saying it was not a very parade-y parade.
It was a march.
Yes.
Not a parade. Yeah. There's a mosquito in my house, everyone.
Kill it with fire.
Oh my God. You guys.
Okay, well, I guess we have to cut this episode short because Emily's having
it. No, we don't.
Oh, no, we don't. Okay, she's going to do it. Live on the accessible stall, she's going to kill this mosquito.
I don't even see it anymore. This is very stressful. Now I see it. Does anyone care about the Great Mosquito Saga of 2018?
I do.
Okay, so I feel like we've actually made all our major points anyway. And I would be glad to do final takeaways since I've lost this mosquito.
My final takeaway is this Pride Parade was cool, but it just seemed a little bit lacking in cohesion. And, you know, we should always strive to be better. It's all we can ever want and ask for.
My final takeaway is that I need to remember how to have fun, because there's a very, very good chance that everyone around us was having a gosh darn blast and we were too wrapped up in some kind of negative thinking to realize it.
Because, fun.
Oh, yeah, like I was definitely having fun, but I think maybe more like loosen up. Like, OK, here's an example. I know people were having fun. That woman in the unicorn floaty.
Oh, right. I mean, how do you not have fun wearing a unicorn floaty?
The woman who was blowing on the party blower that I really wanted, but you wouldn't let me have.
Disagree. That was awful. I am very biased against party blowers.
I thought it was fabulous. People with the clappers.
That was cool.
Everyone that cheering cool. on the streets. That was cool. There was so much fun and happiness to be had, and I need to get out of my own head about it.
Are you saying that you should have some pride in yourself? Boy, do I have the parade for you.
The Disability Pride Parade?
Oh my god, maybe it did do its job, Emily.
Same time next year?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, this was definitely an episode for reflection and introspection, because I am all about a good parade.
Who doesn't love a good parade? Like, if you don't like parades, like, just stand still. It'll leave you alone.
Yeah, parades are super great. I just think there's some different meanings in the year 2018.
And on that note, this has been another episode of The Accessible Stall. Sorry for the rushed tone, but we wanted to record this while it was still fresh in our brain space.
Yeah, this is hot out of the oven, because we were together all day today, and then we record this once we got back to our respective places of living. We met up at 9:30 this morning. It's 10:45 at night.
I'm entirely sick of her face.
No, you're not. We haven't stopped talking since like 7:30 this morning.
It's really sickening, like, from if you think about it.
But it was all for the greater good of the Disability Pride Parade.
It was. And you know what? This was the best effort they've put on so far. And hopefully it will only get better the more they do it.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what next year holds. I'm very excited. Oh, you know what we should have done? Stay tuned for next year, guys, because we're going to do a roundup of all the best signs.
Yeah. Did you know that we were totally prepared to do an on-site podcast and then didn't, because we're the most responsible people in the entire internet?
No, we were actually in the moment.
That's true. We were living in the
moment.
See how positive, see how much pride she has? She got that from this parade. Don't let her words fool you.
I mean, we took some pictures and stuff, but for the most part, like, I wasn't really recording video. I wasn't taking pictures during. I was kind of taking it all in, watching the crowd.
You and I got tons of pictures taken of us, though, because we were a circus with me on the back.
Yeah. Oh my god. Why didn't we start with that? Kyle rides on the back of my wheelchair.
There was this like one or two photographers that were basically like not quite in line with us, but just far ahead enough of us to like turn around and snap like a billion pictures just of us.
Well, one of them was with
our group. Yeah, I know. But one of them also wasn't.
A lot of people were fascinated. I'm wondering if we're going to end up on some kind of news clip somewhere.
Let's find out.
Next year, let's decorate my wheelchair and also your face.
Let's just like wear a giant cape that says The Accessible Stall.
People were wearing capes.
I know. I don't know what we were woefully underprepared.
It's fine, because we went and we showed our pride. But next year, next year we're gonna get an accessible stall on wheels, and you can sit on the toilet, and it's going to be like our very own float.
Okay, so next year, if we don't do this, make sure you blow us up on Twitter and link us to this episode today. Good night, everybody.
Thanks so much for
listening.
Until
next time.
Bye.